ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल महाराज रहुगण मीट्स जड़ भरत टेक्स्ट 6। अहो कष्टम भ्रातर व्यक्तमुरु परिश्रांतो दीर्घमध्वानमेक एव उहिवान सुचिरम नातिपीबा न संहननांगो जरसा चोपद्रुतो भवान सखेनो एवापर एते संगटिन इति बहु विप्रलब्धो अपि अविद्यया रचित द्रव्यगुणं कर्माशयस्व चरम कलेवरे वस्तुनि संस्थान विशेषेहं ममेत्यन अध्यारोपित मिथ्य प्रत्ययो ब्रह्मभूतस्तूष्णीं शिबिकां पूर्ववद्वाह। Translation: King Rahugana told Jadbharat, "How troublesome this is, my dear brother. You certainly appear very fatigued because you have carried this palanquin alone without assistance for a long time and for a long distance. Besides that, due to your old age, you have become greatly troubled. My dear friend, I see that you are not very firm, not very strong and stout. Aren't your fellow carriers cooperating with you?" In this way, the king criticized Jadbharat with sarcastic words. Yet, despite being criticized in this way, Jadbharat had no bodily conception of the situation. He knew that he was not the body, for he had attained his spiritual identity. He was neither fat, lean, nor thin, nor had he anything to do with a lump of matter, a combination of the 5 gross and 3 subtle elements. He had nothing to do with the material body and its 2 hands and legs. In other words, he had completely realized his spiritual identity, Aham Brahmasmi. He was therefore unaffected by this sarcastic criticism from the king. Without saying anything, he continued carrying the palanquin as before. Purport: Jadbharat was completely liberated. He did not even care when the dacoits attempted to kill his body. He knew that he certainly was not the body. Even if the body were killed, he would not have cared, for he was thoroughly convinced of the proposition found in the Bhagavad Gita 2.20, "Na hanyate hanyamane sharire." He knew that he could not be killed even if his body were killed. Although he did not protest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his agent could not tolerate the injustice of the dacoits. Therefore, he was saved by the mercy of Krishna and the dacoits were killed. In this case, while carrying the palanquin, he also knew that he was not the body. This body was very strong and stout, in sound condition, quite competent to carry the palanquin. Due to his being freed from the bodily conception, the sarcastic words of the king did not at all affect him. The body is created according to one's karma, and material nature supplies the ingredients for the development of a certain type of body. The soul the body covers is different from the bodily construction. Therefore, anything favorable or mischievous done to the body does not affect the spirit soul. The Vedic injunction is asangohi ayam purushaha. The spirit soul is always unaffected by material arrangements. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, the indifference to the material condition of a person who is self-realized is very nicely being brought out. Self-realization means he has actually realized that he is not the body, but he is the soul. And the gross and the material coverings are actually superfluous to the soul. And therefore, to the extent a person becomes self-realized, it is externally manifested by the indifference that he develops to the material dualities that is inevitable, which affects the body and the gross body and the subtle body. And he just tolerates and he just goes on with his main business, that is Krishna consciousness. That is why Krishna says in the Gita, in fact, in one of the first verses, after telling Arjuna that you are not the body, Dehi nosmi nita dehe, he says, Matras prashastu kaunteya, shita ushna sukha dukkhada, agamapayino anityaha tamstiriksha subharada. Matras prashastu kaunteya, shita ushna sukha dukkhada. Shita ushna, hot and cold, is in perception with the body. And sukha dukkha, that is in perception with the subtle body. Agama apayinah, they come and they go. Anityaha, anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. That's the nature of this world. You can't change the world. The world is what it is. And the senses are going to be in that particular way. And the subtle body has to react in a particular way. This is going to happen. So tam stitiksha subharata. In fact, that is the first sign of a sadhu, of a person who is actually sincerely trying to advance. Titikshavaha is very tolerant, because he knows it is the gross material elements acting against my body, or the subtle elements of some others reacting in a particular way to affect my subtle body. But then he doesn't allow that to disturb his pursuit of his goal. It may affect him. Sometimes it hurts. If it's too cold and too hot, it pinches, it hurts. And if some words are very pierce, we see here, first time, it was his gross body being attacked. He was captured like an animal, brought before Mother Kali, and then about to be killed. Fear of losing the body was there, and being cut to pieces literally. And he showed his aloofness by just, it's all right. And now, though he is such an advanced person, pure Brahmana, much more than a Brahmana, a self-realized soul, and made to do such menial task of carrying a king, who should be actually carrying him ideally in the palanquin and taking him around, he realized later, of course. He got down, fell at his feet, and understood. And not only that, he is trying to protect himself from further entanglement and is being cursed for it. And not even directly, sarcastically. Oh, you're very intelligent. Actually, if it is direct, it's much better, but sarcastically, it's much painful. So he's sarcastically criticizing him. You're so strong. Maybe these people are useless. Huh? You are really fatigued. You are very strong. You are everything. So indirectly he's using. And also he knows that this person may actually, probably none of us have experience of a king's anger. King is the ultimate authority. If he is slightly disturbed, finish. That's the end of that fellow. He's practically the supreme authority in the state. People are so scared, even approaching the king. They don't dare. And here is he is chastising him. But Jad Bharat was indifferent to these inflictions on the gross and subtle body. But, it says, without saying anything, he continued carrying the palanquin as before. As before means same. Ants come, again he is going to stop. You do anything you want. You kick me if you want. Yathatathava vidana. Treat me any way you want. But I am not going to stop my business. Because you may tell me something, but I know it's a very costly business. It's going to be a costly affair. I'm not going to risk. After all, you may hurt my gross and subtle body, but I don't want to kill my real self by again doing the same activity for which I had to take two more births. So therefore, for a higher purpose, he compromises all these lower things. No problem. After all, what are you going to do? You're going to kill my body. You're going to make me feel hurt. No problem, but my business should go on. He's very cautious. In fact, Prabhupada writes there is a beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada writes, the difference between self-realization and material illusion is to know that the temporary or illusory impositions of material energy in the shape of gross and subtle bodies are superficial coverings of the self. So this gross and subtle body is simply a superficial covering of the self. Actually, it is not the real self. It is a temporary dress being provided for the body, for the soul. It's actually a punishment for the free, eternal, knowledgeable, blissful soul. It's an embarrassment to be covered by asat, achit and nirananda body. It's temporary. It's full of ignorance. Sharira avidya jal. Jadendriya. Tahe kal. And full of misery. Asannapi kleshada asha deha. Kleshada. Kleshada means it is simply meant to give trouble. But in ignorance, we are so proud of this gross material and subtle material body and its designation. We are proud to have a very powerful body. We are very proud to have a very discriminating intelligence. How to enjoy sense gratification to the best possible way. and a very powerful mind. They are absorbed in achieving whatever they want to achieve. How to improve concentration? Courses. To do what? To be fully absorbed in sense gratification. How to improve concentration in that activity that you are doing, so that you can enjoy it. So similarly, these are actually the coverings of the self. But a person, dehin asmin tha dehe kauma tatha dehant dhiras tatra na mohiyati. This mohya, this illusion, is not affecting the dhira. And who is a dhira? It is described that he has understood that I am not the gross body and I am neither the subtle body. Etan veganyo vishaheta dhirah. Etan vegan. Vega means urge. The gross body has some urges and the subtle body has some urges. It needs, I need response, I need satisfaction, I need attention. But a self-realized person is very attentive to the needs of the soul, but not as equally attentive and careful about the needs of the wants, rather, of the gross and subtle body. The coverings takes place due to ignorance. Why has this punishment being imposed? It is because of the ignorance. Actually, this avidya is the root cause of why we have got this body. Such coverings are never effective in the person or the personality of Godhead. The same covering that we find, gross and subtle body, is not there in the personality of Godhead. His subtle body, his gross body, and his soul, there is no difference. Everything is Sachidananda Vigraha. Knowing this convincingly is called liberation. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanmanaiti mameti sorjuna. One should be convinced of this fact that our gross body, our subtle body is material, whereas the Lord's complete existence is completely beyond this. That is called liberation. This means that perfect self-realization is made possible by adoption of godly or spiritual life. And Prabhupada gives a beautiful description of what is self-realization. He says self-realization means becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle bodies and becoming serious about the activities of the self. One should become gradually indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle bodies and becoming serious about the activities of the self. To the extent we do that, to that extent we know that such a person is self-realized. Jad Bharat could have given Maharaj Rahuguna a piece of his mind and satisfied his ego. The ego was saying, just tell this rascal who you are. Then let him fall at your feet, put you in your palanquin, in his palanquin, and carry you. The ego would have been pushing it, but he was indifferent. Some people dedicate their whole life to this urge of their ego. Their whole life goes on avenging one particular statement somebody made. Dronacharya, we see. Dronacharya was insulted by Drupada. And Dronacharya took a vow. His whole main reason behind training all these Pandavas, other than getting the money to take care of his family, who were very poor, was, I'll train these guys, I'll train these boys, and one of them becomes expert, and through this fellow, I will take my revenge against Drupad. Practically most of his life went in trying to fulfill one particular need of this call of his ego. So sometimes lifetimes are spent simply to, just because we are not indifferent to the constant urge or the demands of the mind, of the body, and of course the root cause is due to the senses, the ego, false ego. The impetus for activities is generated from the self, but such activities become illusory due to ignorance of the real position of the self. Actually, the impetus for any activity is generated by the self. If the soul is not there, the gross and subtle body cannot act. So the impetus is generated by the self only. But the self covered by ignorance, then, as it is explained, but such activities become illusory due to ignorance of the real position of the self. Dehatma buddhi. When the body and mind is identified to be the self, and then the impetus arising from the soul is just, everything becomes illusory. Because the foundation is illusory. The foundation is illusory. All activities based on this illusion is illusory. Because it is temporary. And then Prabhupada, such a beautiful, says, by ignorance, self-interest is calculated in terms of gross and subtle bodies, and therefore a whole set of activities is spoiled life after life. A whole set of activities. What is actually our life? A human body means, as we were discussing the other day, it is a facility with some ability given for some time. This body is nothing but a piece of flesh flapping around for some time, as Prabhupada says. So, God has given us, Krishna has given us, a facility, material body, with some ability of the subtle body, intelligence, mind, etc. And He has given us a span of time. He wants to see how we are going to use it. This ability, this facility, and this time, how we are going to use. And by that he understands whether this fellow has actually come out of ignorance or not. It's a gift that is offered to this human life. And a person who understands this gift and uses it only for one purpose, thanking the Lord for this gift and using it in His service rather than enjoyment. Again, the same ignorance for which he has come into this material world. So, a whole life of a devotee is simply a gratitude of this gift. And how do we express that gratitude? Our every word, every action, and every thought. That means the propensity of the gross and subtle body should be simply for the pleasure and satisfaction of the person who has given the gift. And such a person is actually liberated. Then that same energy which was entangling him becomes yoga maya. Then that mahamaya, same things which was entangling, becomes a facility to express our love. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my Lord, the inconveniences that I experience in your service is an expression of that love. Everyone can say, I love Krishna when things are smooth and nice. But when things go haywire, and at that time, to be saying that this is exactly what I need for my purification. This is exactly what I need. Because he is convinced that the gross body is moved by the three modes of nature and also the subtle body. They are moved by the three modes of nature. And prakriti ekriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. And maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate. And that material modes of nature are moved by Krishna. Therefore, he develops indifference. Pashyan, srinvan, spushan, jigran, ashnan, gachan, sopan, shosan, paralapan, visrajan, grinhan, unmishan, nimishan, napi, indriyan, indriyartheshu, vartanta, iti dharayan. He understands. The gross senses, they are made in such a way to contact with the material mode. And they go on. So we need not have it become too much attentive to or too much caring for those things. They just go on. Just learn to tolerate and go on. And whatever his will, actually he knows that the actual controller is Paramatma. Whatever, not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. He is moving everything. But because of my wrong desire, he has to move all these things. So now, I want to make my desire one with him. And therefore, that desire is made one with the... That's why it is said, Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahitah shita ushna sukha dukkheshu tatha mana apamana yo. One who has controlled the mind, Jitatmana prashantasya. Such a becomes completely at peace with himself. Whether he is being butchered by people, whether insulted. So, jitatmanaha prashantasya. One who has controlled his mind. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayu. It is the mind itself, which is like the link between the soul and the body. When the mind is attached to the senses and identifies with the body, that is called the false ego. And when the mind becomes purified through intelligence, understands I am not the body and the soul, and becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle body, focuses on the activities of the self, that is real ego. And the real link is the mind. And that is why mind is the root cause. Mana eva manushyanam karanam. That's why Krishna says, man mana. First thing is you offer your mind to me. Savai manah Krishna padaravindu. Because if the mind becomes purified, cheto darpana marjanam. If the mind is clear, it can see that actually I am not the controller. The more we become attached to controlling things and things happening the way we want, the more we become disturbed. So a person is detached in the sense that he does his job and rest is he's left. I mean, if Krishna wants, if this is what Krishna wants, how much can I defend myself against these dacoits? This is what Krishna wants. He's the controller. He's inspired. That Paramatma in his heart is inspiring to give my karma. As Prabhupada says, don't blame the instrument of your karma. Someone becomes an instrument to give your karma. But then if we develop hatred towards that instrument, then again, whole series of activities which entangles life after life. But one sees beyond that, the hand of Krishna. And therefore he says, that's perfectly what is required for me to go on. But the thing is, he is very, very attentive and cautious to the activities of the self. So that becoming serious about the activities of the self, to the extent we become serious and to the extent we become indifferent to the activities of the gross and subtle body, that shows a person is becoming self-realized. This is a test of these, this is a litmus test, as they say, of a person's advancement. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, this is very nicely described in the fifth chapter. Nakartrutvam nakarmani lokasya sajati prabhu nakarma phala sanyogam svabhavastu pravartate. The embodied spirit, matter of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature are acting. We are simply helplessly watching the modes taking over. And to the extent we identify ourselves as the doer, ahamkara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. So when the modes are acting in a way that is, you felt very nice, then you become very happy. And if the modes acted in a way that is not pleasing to your senses, not pleasing to your mind, you become disturbed. Then, who is moving the modes? Is the Lord. So is He responsible for all our activities? Na adatte kasyachit papam na chaiva sukritam vibhuhu agyanena tu jnanam tena muhyanti jantavah. Not does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of ignorance which covers their real knowledge. So it's because of this ignorance. And this ignorance was removed from Jadbharat by the mercy of the Lord. He gave the knowledge and remembrance. That comes by the mercy of the Lord. Krishna, Arjuna also says in the Gita, Nashto moha smritir labdha tvat prasadat maya achyuta. Nashto moha smritir labdha. Moha, illusion, and which arises due to ignorance. And smriti means remembrance. Krishna says, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matah smritir jnanam. I am seated in everyone's heart. From me comes knowledge and remembrance. And also, of course, forgetfulness. If you want to forget, Krishna gives forgetfulness. And if you want to remember the Lord, how do we show the Lord that we are desperate? By our activities. And Prabhupada writes in the later purport to that Bhagavatam verse, he says, the same energy that was acting for forgetfulness acts for liberation by repentance and penance on the part of the living entity. And Jadbharat's life is a life of repentance and penance. Repentance, deep repentance for the activities of the past. And what is the penance? Not to do the same mistake again. He is not going to risk. Even at the cost of the king chastising him, he is not going to risk doing the same mistake again. Let that fellow do the mistake. What can I do? I am not controlling his body. I am not the controller. He is acting according to his nature. That's all right. But I am, at least on my part, I don't want to do the same mistake again, which I did earlier. I thought I was a controller, proprietor, enjoyer, well-wisher. And there I intervened, and therefore I got deviated. So in this way, his whole life is a life practical exhibition of repentance in the heart of the past mistakes and a life of penance. Is very beautifully explained in the Nectar of Instruction. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udara upastha vegam. This vega, these are urges, they demand, attend to me, care for me. The gross and the subtle body. They are vegam, loud call. Like we say, call of nature. You have to respond eventually. How long can you tolerate? So, urge, to the extent we identify with the body, we have to respond very seriously, take the call very seriously. Nature of the subtle body, the call of the subtle body. I need it, satisfy me. Give him a piece of your mind, the mind says. But then, if it is favorable, okay. If it is not favorable, no. If it is favorable in the service of the Lord, he will do it. When Jad Bharat saw that Maharaj Rahuguna is actually a very intelligent person, is little influenced by the mode of passion, but he will be receptive. Therefore, he took the risk. He had decided not to speak for the rest of his life. Actually, it is the only time he spoke in his life. But he spoke at the right place, at the right time, to the right degree. Job was done, went away. Actually, he didn't stay back to initiate Maharaj Rahuguna and make him his disciple, ask him to construct a nice palace and solve all his material problems. He spoke and he just left. That's all. Which was an act of compassion. He says, I did the same mistake and this fellow is going to do the same mistake. It's potentially a good candidate. If he becomes a devotee, so many people will benefit him. And he saw the qualification, there he spoke. And he left. So, by scrutinizing study, Prabhupada writes here, the body is created according to one's karma and material nature supplies the ingredients for development of a certain type of body. The soul and body, the soul the body covers is a different bodily, different from the bodily construction. Therefore, anything favorable or mischievous done to the body does not affect the spirit soul. The Vedic injunction is asangohi ayam purushah. Spirit soul is always unaffected by material arrangements. These are extreme examples. But at least, as one time His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a lecture on the life of Dhruva Maharaj, he was telling that he stood on one leg for so many months. He controlled his breath. He focused his mind at one place. Like tremendous, severe austerities of Dhruva. And he ate only leaves and then only air. So after that he said, so how does it apply to us? He said, he stood on one leg, but at least we should stand on two legs when we feel little sleepy in our spiritual activity, especially chanting. So he ate only leaves, but we can eat only prasad. We can decide that we'll eat only prasad. So like that, so much. That's like if you jump to touch the sky, at least you will touch the roof. If not, at least you will get off the ground. So if you set a very high, Bhagavatam quotes extreme examples also. Total surrender of Ambarish Maharaj. Total attachment of Yayati. Of so many others. Extreme. What happened to them? But it's good lessons. And also, of course, subtle ones. How subtly he got into it. So therefore, we exactly know. We learn from this. What's to be done, what's not to be done. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Damodar Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Besides chanting, associating with devotees, doing puja, is there any other limb of bhakti which can help us to increase the quality of tolerance?
Besides devotional service?
Besides chanting, yes, it's devotional service.
Yeah.
Associating with devotees and archan.
Yeah.
Any other limb of bhakti that can help us?
Actually, Not even all the process. Just the first process of hearing is enough. Because when we hear from proper sources with a proper attitude, everything else follows. That is why it is said, it's where Srila Prabhupada, of all the verses on the Bhagavad Gita, spoke maximum number of time on 7.1. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashrayaha asamshayam samagrammam yathagyasasitat shrunu. And generally he focuses on that shrunu. And he was convinced that if simply people give oral reception to the message of Krishna, everything else will follow. That is why in his book, I mean, when he was going abroad, when he was going to the West, he wrote that. And even though he was composing a nice poetry, and he could have said, you know, I don't want to put some other meter, but he specifically wrote that verse. Shunvatam sokatam krishna punya shravana kirtana hridayantasto yabhadrani. He had faith that if these people somehow give oral reception to the message of Bhagavatam, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. So it is ultimately it's a process of hearing. We are asleep actually to our needs, but by hearing that will come. Hearing from proper persons. Proper persons means who are following in that footsteps. Actually, more than hearing, it is the conviction of that person which injects into the heart of people. Why Prabhupada's words had so much of potency? Because that person's faith is injected into the heart of a receptive person. So, that's why we say, Putam Harikathamritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpochishta Yathapaya. Even though it is pure Harikathamrit, but his faith is not there. If we give a receptive hearing to such a person, subtly he will inject. Even though he is giving milk, but subtly the nature of snake is he has poison. So that poison will come. Inevitably it will come. Similar, therefore, so hearing from a proper source and with a proper attitude. Pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Pranipatena means humbling oneself. I need to hear this. And pariprashnena, clarification. Because without clarifying, if we just do something, we may not get the desired result. So you have to make sure you have understood right. And once you have understood it, sevaya, sincerely to the best of one's ability, put it to practice. And when putting it to practice, some questions arise, confirm again. So the pariprashna goes on. Everything follows. Everything else follows. Actually, just like all of us, we just heard Prabhupada's words by sincere people and everything else is following. We are gradually becoming serious. We are gradually trying to accept the do's and avoid the don'ts. Everything has come and the determination comes by associating with those who have the determination. You're talking about faith, right? Tolerance. Sahishnuna. Taroriva Sahishnuna. Tolerance comes when we feel ourselves undeserving. When you feel you are a servant. A servant tolerates the whims of the master. What to do? My master is like this. But to the extent we feel that, you know, What does he think of himself? Am I servant? Naukaru kya tera? So, if you see true servants, the slaves or the animals which were under subjugation of some kind of people, what to do? This is my master. Okay. I know it's a very high calling, very easy to speak. But it is a fact. It's amazing. Haridas Thakur, etc. We hear.
Prabhu, talking about this example of Jada Bharat and Rahuguna, I am just thinking that we are in the spiritual life for years and years now. But if this type of incidents would have happened, I am not talking about other, but I can talk about myself. Somebody saying sarcastically, although we have heard in our whole lifetime that we are not this body but we are a spirit soul, our anger just comes up. It just comes up and we would like to retaliate it. Sometimes we feel it that what we have done up to now, that this basic thing Prabhupada has given in every verse, that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul. But in practically to implement in our life, there we basically we failed it. And as and when we spend more time in our devotional service, and when the age increases, and the body starts creating problems to you, at that time we become more bodily conscious to see to it that the bodily needs are being satisfied. Even with that impression in our mind, that our spiritual life will be disturbed, because if the bodily needs are not being satisfied, we become more conscious about the body. But if we go little bit deep in our heart, we could understand that it is just basically a trap of Maya that's completely getting entangled into bodily conscious itself, because here we are not able to retaliate also. We are more conscious of our body and spiritual life is always in the background and everything has become a mess in our life. So how to see to it that something positive comes up?
Therefore, before you grow old in devotion. Because as you grow old, materially you can't be so active. So you have to become active within. A time will come when practically, you know, you can't perform any physical. So you should be mentally become active. You become active within. That means you have to develop taste. I've seen old people, previous ages. They're just in their homes. They're hardly able to go out. But the whole day they are absorbed. They are just reading whole day, full Ramayana, again and again. Whole Bhagavad, they are drowned in it. They are worshipping the deity. They are happy, satisfied. Actually within the walls of one room for months together they stay. And they are absolutely happy. So we have to, the spiritual thing means actually go within. How much are we developing a taste for these activities, for the nine process of devotion? And as long as the body is favorable, you try to do that. And it is not, not to do. Yo antar sukha, antar aramah, tatha antar jyoti revaya. So, that's one thing. And as regards this kind of thing, somebody says something and you think, Prabhupada said, what is the difference between a Godas and a Goswami? Both feel bad. But the difference between a Godas and a Goswami, the Go means the senses, and the senses say, just give him a punch on the nose. Either physically, or you are not so physical, then at least verbally. I've seen in the train people fight, and one fellow is a very bulky fellow and gives a big punch on the nose. The small fellow, he can't beat, but he'll go a little distance and pass one verbal attack. Hey, again you said that? And somebody is pulling him, and you know, like his ego, he doesn't hurt. Something he has to give. So if not verbally, at least he'll slap him, you know, by some word which will really pierce him. And actually that is more, actually a word which is hurting the heart, piercing the heart, is more painful than a slap. Slap you forget, you know, after some time the pain goes away. But the insult or the word actually pierces. So it's there. It is held in the heart for a long time. So, Goswami means, he says, no. Whereas Godas, he says, yes, what can I do? The urge is too much. Yes, I will respond. You can respond if it serves Krishna. If not, no. Like Vidura, when he was insulted, he just walked off. He didn't protest. But when he saw that his own brother is actually suffering and he was so much compassion, he came back. Nobody wants to go to such a place where you have been insulted. But he went again. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to the same houses. Or no, he talks about one Babu, Lala Babu. When he was a businessman, so many people had, you know, become his enemies and all that. But after that, he went to their house. Because he saw aloof from that. He saw a spirit soul there. He went because he was engaging them in service of making a nice temple for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his birthplace. So he would go. So, it's very difficult. But we have to make a beginning somewhere. That's it. Sky is the limit. But at least let us be off the ground. Some small things let us tolerate. Then comes big, big, high level tolerance. What is that? Maharaj made us memorize. A man's greatness is estimated by how he is able to tolerate provoking situations. When not much provocation, then to tolerate is okay. But actually, this kind of tolerance is okay. But the subtle tolerance is more difficult. When people worship you, respect you, then it is so pleasing, you can't say no. But Madhavendra Puri was so scared, he ran away from that place. Sanatana Goswami said, he was so scared, he would just run away from that place. Because he knows that it is too pleasing. When something is hurting, to tolerate is actually in one sense much easier. But subtler means when it is more pleasing, it's so comfortable, so wonderful. You feel so nice. But still, if it is not helpful in the service of Krishna, of course, tolerate. Tolerate happiness. Tolerate distress is okay. But to tolerate happiness, tolerate respect and not be affected, not respond to it. Or not fall prey. Because it is not, if it is not helpful to Krishna, no. If it is helpful to serving Krishna, okay. We accept, do the needful. So it's not just these are negative ones, even the positive ones. That's why Prabhupada writes very beautifully. He says, therefore, anything favorable or mischievous done to the body does not affect the spirit soul. Favorable or unfavorable, it's all unfavorable if it is not helpful in the service of Krishna. So he was not speaking so far because it was unfavorable. Why speak? If you speak, he will speak, I will speak, and it go on. Daksha Prajapati Yajna it will become. He'll break my nose, I'll break his ears, and then he'll squeeze his ears, he'll punch me, and then he go on and on and on and on. Progressive reaction. No matter not, just put it off at the seed itself. One last glade.
So, Prabhuji, you mentioned it's more difficult to tolerate this praise and worship because it feels good. So is one supposed to not feel good when one is praised, or what is the reaction of a devotee? What is he supposed to feel at that time?
It's not what you do, but why you do what you do. Why are you feeling good? If you are feeling good that this person is appreciating a devotee, he is appreciating a representative of Krishna, and that is good for him, you feel good. But oh, he is very nice. I am an insignificant rascal, I am a useless fellow. But in me also he sees, what is he respecting? He is respecting this tilak, he is respecting this kantimala, he is respecting this dress, he is respecting what you stand for. And that I don't deserve. But somehow my Guru Maharaj's mercy, he has put me in a position. Therefore, by respecting this outfit, he's advancing. Very nice. You feel happy to see that someone is becoming subordinate to the Lord, taking a humble position in front of the Lord. But if you start thinking that, you know, I have been responsible for creating this, and therefore you feel good, or, you know, I have, you know, he's respecting me, you know, and I feel good. That is dangerous. It's good for him, but not good for us. Not good for us. So, that is something will stick. The problem is, you may become a transparent instrument, but there is a tendency to think, but I am the instrument. You see, Krishna, use me. Something will stick. Subtly. See, I am such a transparent. Everything goes. Dasosmi. Actually, I am Dasosmi. I am receiving your pranams at my lotus feet. Subtly it will come. How to overcome that? Be two things. One is better associate with those who can, you know, that's why, rather than always be associated with, as Govind Prabhu gives the formula, 20-60-20. He says 20% with juniors, 20% with seniors, 60% with equals. Because equals are seeing level to level, they can tell you exactly what's 20% from there, you know. They always encourage, it's very nice. What you're doing is very nice, just continue. And the down people, you are so high, you are glorious Prabhu. Actually, you are a pure devotee, Prabhuji. Actually, you are a pure devotee. I am convinced. But the other fellow says, Prabhu, beto bhi, bahut ho gaya thoda, kam karo. Time ho gaya, pravachan band karo. Senior will say, very nice, huh? Very nice you spoke, very nice. And the youngest will say, Prabhuji, one more question. But then you have to look at your equals. So we'll stop here without Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Guru Premanandi.